An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Very grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We want to invite you to go to our website at agradio.org. All of these are there podcasted for you. You can link up with iTunes. You can look at all the other different ways of subscribing to these podcasts. And also, there's resources there for you. Churches in your area. We put a lot of work into this website, so we ask you to go and to make use of that. And if you'd like, you can donate online, or you're always welcome to write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Well, we're studying Psalm 84 today, and what an amazing psalm to understand the importance of worship. And we left off yesterday with looking at the scenario of the psalm, which here he's describing what his experience is in having the ability and the freedom to come and to worship the Lord. My soul faints. How beautiful are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul faints. They long to come. I long to come and to worship you. This is what it says in verse 2. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Now, the word tabernacle is mentioned here. It means dwelling place. He's describing the tabernacle, the place where God had chosen to come and to meet with his people. There was a tabernacle there and later a temple, and the God of heaven and earth had made a place to come down that his people could meet with him. This is an important point about worship. We often think that worship is going up, but actually what worship is the opportunity, since God has come down to us, to receive from his hand the grace that we need. This is a powerful introduction to this psalm, because think of what he's describing. I love to come to the place where you are and worship. It's intimate. Deep within my soul, I faint to think about the worship of God. Be honest. How excited are you to come to worship the Lord? Does it have a place in you? Do you give priority to it? You see, I think one of the challenges here is when we read an Old Testament psalm like this, people will make the offhanded comment, well, that's the Old Testament, but we live in the New Testament. And we think that the Old Testament was full of all these requirements and laws and sacrifices, so that there must have been no joy in the heart of the people when they were doing these things. And this psalm confronts that. This psalm is rebuking the idea that the worship of God was some sort of chore, that it was a hard demand put on God's people. That's not what it was at all. He's describing that what he found in coming to the Lord's house was the most beautiful thing that he had ever experienced in life. And it wasn't because the temple or the building made it happen. He says here very plainly, my heart and my existence, it cries out for the living God. The worship of you is lovely. It thrills my soul. It's my greatest passion to be where you dwell. The worship of the Lord is the most satisfying thing that I've ever done with my life. Psalm 27, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You see what's being described? The ultimate satisfaction, the ultimate calming of the restless heart is the worship of the Lord. And so he describes this experience as that of fainting for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. I get the privilege to come and use my mouth and my hands and my heart to bless and praise the Lord. The psalm is describing what the finding of the pearl of great price, this thing that he's experiencing and receiving in worship, he's describing what matters the most in this life and what it does to your life. If there's anything that needs to be reformed today, it's our understanding of worship, isn't it? You know, what do we think about worship? What do we think is happening in worship? Why did the Lord say you should never neglect the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some? Some are going to say that. Some are going to say that since now we don't worship on this mountain or that mountain, we don't have to gather. And the Bible says that's flat out wrong. Why is it so important? Well, there was something happening in worship when God's people gathered together that you couldn't get anywhere else. Remember in Genesis when they had first fallen and these people were wandering aimlessly in the land. You have a very curious statement. Early in Genesis, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. That's what the psalmist has found. You'll notice in verse 2 that his flesh is crying out for God. It's not because the tent itself was holy. It's because God had chosen to come and to dwell among them in that place. And you see, that's what the church is today. It's the body of Christ coming together and gathering together on the Sabbath, on the day of rest, on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, to worship, to delight in the Lord, to follow what was rooted in creation, a work-rest pattern. Work 6 days and rest the seventh, patterning exactly what our Creator did. You know, it's interesting that Psalm 92 is the only psalm for the Sabbath. And as the worshipers would come up to the Lord's house on the Sabbath, they would sing. You know what they would sing? It is good to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto your name, O Most High, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. This is noted as the only song for the Sabbath. And notice how it laid forth a pattern. God's people on the Sabbath would gather in the morning and at night. And the psalm compares those here in that psalm to those who found the pearl with those of the beasts of the field who wanted to do their own thing and would never look up and give God praise. And you wonder, and you know, I wonder if we've really understood today what worship is. You know, many churches have dropped their evening worship services. And I've said before on Abounding Grace that, you know, across the denominational lines years ago, everyone gathered morning and evening. And today, a lot of churches, even Reformed churches, have dumped the evening service. They felt that they can do better things with their time. And I'm more concerned about what it's really saying. I'm really concerned about the hearts and the lives of the people who justify that. I've always thought, you know, in the churches that I pastor, I never wanted to stand up and just pound the pulpit and say, you have to be at worship, and get angry at those who are missing morning and evening worship. I never wanted to create a joyless pride in what we're doing. Forcing worship would be the most unnatural thing to do in light of this psalm, wouldn't it? Are men commanded to worship the Lord? Yes. But the Lord always wanted his people to call the Sabbath and his worship a delight. And whenever it became a duty of forced servitude, what you ended up creating was a people drawing near with their mouths, but their hearts were far from God. Going through the motions, going through the actions, doing all the outward ceremonies devoid of a changed heart. They missed it. You think we've struggled with this today? What did the Lord want us to delight in? Why does the Lord want us to delight in this? The answer is, you can't get what happens in worship anywhere else. And now we're striking at the big problem today. People don't agree with that. Think about it. Just think about it with me for a moment, and then we'll pause and come back tomorrow. God set up worship to remove all distraction. He set up worship to give you time to receive grace for your journeys. And what does he do for you? Well, God's people all throughout history have loved to gather in worship. Why? Why did they do it? You know, Psalm 27 again says, "One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple." Why is it so important? I love what James Boyce said years ago. Pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, had a radio program out there. He said something so profound. I want you to listen to it today. Boyce once said, "There is something to be experienced of God in church that is not quite so easily experienced elsewhere. Otherwise, why have churches? If only instruction is what we need, get it by a tape or a book. If it's only fellowship, have a home gathering, a study. There's something to be said for the sheer physical singing of the songs, the sitting in the pews, the looking to the pulpit, and the gazing on the Bible as it is expounded, tasting the sacrament in the very atmosphere of the place set apart for the worship of God that is spiritually beneficial." Believe that? We wouldn't have set this up. I wouldn't have set up having a man stand up there, tell everyone they're sinners, tell everyone they're going to go to hell if they don't believe in Jesus, announce the way of salvation, announce the way of grace, sing psalms to the Lord. No one would have ever made this up, dear listener. We just wouldn't do it because by nature we want to do better things with our time. We'd rather be at the ball game, wouldn't we? And here we're being confronted, we're being tested about what the Sabbath is, what worship is, calling it a delight. There's something that happens there when the Word of God is open and it is expounded that you do not get anywhere else. This is where Jesus is proclaimed. How will they hear without a preacher? Romans 10. This is where it's announced Christ died for our sins, that he rose for our justification. This is the place that God gives power to be assured of his love, to be lights in this dark world. And here's where the psalm gives us something overwhelming to ponder. You know what the psalmist says? Listen to verse 3. "Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even about your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you." I'm going to leave you with this thought today. It's overwhelming. I'm imagining at the tabernacle, at the top of the tent, a little sparrow laying her nest and raising her young there. And the psalmist sees that, he looks at it, and something he realizes at that moment about the Sabbath. Do you know the sparrows are almost worthless birds? The Lord lets even the sparrows, the Lord lets the little people, the restless people, the people who are the nobodies of this world to come and to worship him, and to have a place in his house, the great king's house, to delight themselves in him. That is how good the king is. He calls us to him to give us grace and glory. So, dear listener, are you neglecting the means of grace? Come to the Lord's house and receive the nourishment you need for your souls. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program, and we ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
The Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We invite you to come and worship with us Sundays 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.org. That address again, www.lindenurc.org.